Alderman James Foss, I don't have to tell you about wine, I would imagine. I'm sure you knew all those facts already, didn't you, James?
Friday's wine day.
James, a couple of things. I mean, I know you're short of time. Sorry about that. But just wanted to get, we couldn't get Lorraine, I think a very important point that she's made here, a couple of them, as a matter of fact. But two things I want to talk to you about very quickly. And you know, this study that was done, and Cape Town amongst the world's best cities for remote working. Tell us about that.
Firstly, Kino, we are so happy to have you back behind the microphone. We've missed you.
Thanks, James.
And I speak for everyone when I say we are thankful for your quick recovery. So welcome back, Kino.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Kino, yes, the remote working is an important part of our value offer to international visitors and locals. And we've realized that these long stays could really add value to our visitor economy. Ultimately, it's for us now to look at ways to pivot and get people to stay longer in our destination and to spend more money here, because the visitor economy is everyone's business. And so our department will be doing specialized messaging and marketing in our key source markets, Europe and so on, to encourage people to select Cape Town for the workation destination.
Ah.
We've got a wonderful ecosystem of hotels and guest houses and so on, and that really adds value to the proposition to entice visitors and locals to select our city for the longer stay opportunity. Mm. So it's just another way of us looking at things differently. It's for that next normal. And this is really going to add value to our international positioning, because we know that short stays is going to be impossible now if you look at the global trends.
Yep.
And this is a really awesome way for us to position our city in a way that will drive demand and make business sense, because they will add a lot of additional revenue into your hotels, your restaurants, your businesses, transportation, you name it. So it's really a wonderful opportunity for us to position Cape Town in this way.
That's brilliant. I mean, absolutely wonderful. And you guys have worked really hard on this. What about local tourism, James? I mean, we are running short of time. Now, if you don't mind, I'll just take you for a couple of minutes after 10:30, because I know you. I want to talk about what you're doing, you know, with the clothing side of things as well. I think that is absolutely phenomenal too. But I stumbled across a company recently that's now going to Uberize camping and caravanning, etc., so that people can rent out their own equipment or rent equipment and then just make it easier for people to get out there and, for example, just enjoy the outdoors. You know, are those sort of innovations being looked at by the city and SA Tourism?
Yes, and also our industry stakeholders. So we work very closely with Cape Town Tourism and all the partners to look at different opportunities. So the domestic market is now a key market in terms of providing much-needed revenue for our tourism businesses. So we're going to position Cape Town in our domestic space as a key contender. Mm. So, for example, we'll market Cape Town in Johannesburg as a destination. We've got a cheeky campaign. You don't need a holiday. You need Cape Town. So we're going to really position ourselves on the domestic market because it's a very important flight route, Cape Town and Johannesburg. It's one of the busiest. And with the addition of new local airlines coming into that space, it's really adding value. We've got a partnership with Travel Start and Flight Center, where we want to get more bums on seats on those domestic airlines into Cape Town. We're also looking at new markets. You've mentioned camping and so on. So we're looking at what's the value proposition, what's available. Can we fill those gaps? Mm. So if we as a city identify products and services, we need to make sure it adds value,
absolutely,
it's quality, because we don't want to damage our brand and we don't want to position Cape Town as a cheap destination. So we work very closely with our partners in the tourism value chain to make ultimately sure it adds value.
Hold on to those words. Alderman James Foss, the Maker member for economic opportunities in the city of Cape Town. Now, James, we were talking about, you know, especially in the tourism space, you know, wanting people to travel locally, et cetera, et cetera. I was talking about this company that I stumbled upon doing some really interesting stuff around Uberization of camping. You made a point. You said we don't want to market Cape Town as a cheap destination. Now, you must be careful. Cape Town is already seen as being a bloody expensive destination that not even locals can use. So when you say you don't want to market Cape Town as a cheap destination, what do you mean?
That we don't want to compromise on quality. So I'm very happy that you picked up on that, because I don't want listeners to get the wrong impression. A lot of people see tourism as a very expensive activity.
Yeah.
And the city too. We realize that for us to be much more inclusive in our offer and in our participation, whether it's in the tourism business ecosystem or participants, people enjoying our city, we must make it more affordable. So I'm very happy to say that end of last year, as part of the tourism bounce back strategy for Cape Town, we've come up with affordable packages. We've worked with industry to come up with affordable experiences. We've got 50 things to do for under 50 Rand. We have what we call the community tourism initiative, where you can visit various communities in Cape Town, experience the culture, the cuisine, the scenery for under 150 bucks for a family of two or three or four, depending on what you select to do. So we've worked incredibly hard to break down those barriers, to work with industry, to make it more affordable, but not to market Cape Town internationally as a cheap destination. We still want people to know that they will get a quality experience, because, as I said, visitor economy is everyone's business. So whatever type of business you are adding value to Cape Town's destination offer. And it's also managing our destination. So a big plan for this year will be to develop products in all corners of the city that will drive demand and make business sense. We want to look at new things to do, because in tourism you have business and leisure. So you have visitors coming here for business purposes that will be spending time in the destination for conferences, events, meetings, whatever. And you have your leisure traveler that will be doing all the experiences. So we have to look holistically. So I'm very looking forward to the new year, working with our partners on our tourism development plan. COVID obviously changed the way we do business, and it was a good opportunity for us to reflect, reimagine, and now we're going to put those pieces back together and come up with new things to do. And obviously building on the existing, the Big Six, Table Mountain, Cape Point, V&A, those are very important tourism attractions that add massive value in terms of our international marketing. We will build on those experiences, but we have to go out now and transform some of our value proposition in a way that will bring in more participants. So the last thing I want to say on this, tourism is, in our view, a destination marketing value offer. We are going to pay much more attention to those sectors that underpin tourism, accommodation, transportation, food and beverage, experiences, etc. Those are the type of sectors that really need our support, and also to bring in the element of transformation. Just imagine if we can do much more in places such as Athlone, Langa, Durbanville, those communities, Muizenberg, you name it, they all have something to offer. And we need to work with those communities in developing more tourism businesses. In other words, businesses that can add value to the tourism offer. Mm. And not a tourism business, but instead a business for tourism.
Yeah, but also people aren't going to be rushing to hotels. People aren't going to be rushing to Airbnbs. They aren't going to be doing any of these things anytime soon. I know people would. I personally, I must be honest with you. If you asked me what my best getaway will be with my family, I will say out in the open, away from people, right? I don't want to go into a space personally where other people are staying in the same house, and I have to share joint facilities with them. I am too scared to do that, and I think a lot of other people are. So there's this changing face of tourism. In South Africa, and I would imagine the Western Cape's included in that. One should surely take that into account.
Yes, and that's what's going to make our destination offer much more unique, because we have to do much more on the health awareness, because visitors, your future traveler, will select cities and towns based on their health response. So it's those business adaptation. Mm. What are you going to do differently? You mentioned the camping opportunity there. Mm. I've seen on my Facebook this morning companies that will now go and put up your tent or your caravan.
Yes.
for you in places that I've never heard of before.
Yeah.
That's the next normal. But not to do away with the existing.
Sure.
We have to build on the existing so that we can help those businesses pivot.
Absolutely.
With strict COVID, because the whole future traveler will look much different. Our key source markets will look much different. I'm speaking now, yesterday I had a meeting with the French Consul General to talk about the direct flight between Cape Town and Paris, because France is an important key source market, and so we'll have to rekindle those relationships again when it's safe to travel. What will our messaging be? What will our products be that we will market in those destinations? And it comes back to the earlier point, the vacation or the longer workation opportunity, so that we position Cape Town as a work destination, a remote work destination. So it forms part of that six-pillar strategy that we spoke about end of last year. Mm. Position Cape Town as a city to come and study, work, play, invest, and so on. So those are the important key source markets. So I'm excited. There's a lot of hard work that lies ahead. Industry is with us, and as I say, this is the time for Cape Town to cut through the noise and do what's responsible. Oh, and the last thing, we're also going to pay much more attention on responsible tourism.
Yes.
And I know my officials are listening to this interview, so they've been doing a lot of work during this COVID period to see how do we position Cape Town as a much more responsible destination, because that's your future traveler need. They will look at those destinations that do things differently. The drought gave us a lot of lessons, and we've learned a lot of important new trends in terms of positioning Cape Town around your impact on the environment, your impact on health.
Mm.
So there's going to be a big focus around that also in the new year.
Okay, now we just have a quick call. Errol in Blue Downs. Good morning, Errol.
Good morning, Kino, and good morning, MEC. Kino, you know, I booked a place at the Gariep Dam.
Yeah.
And they advertised at $550 for a chalet for two people a night. When I got the quote, it suddenly went up to $750. And then I queried this with them, and I said to them, you know what? You are going to price yourself out of the local market. 36.5% increase. I know it's not in the Western Cape, but I'm sure the NEC can speak to these people not to ignore the locals, because we've also been pole-axed by the COVID.
We've been fighting with them and everybody else and around the country for the longest time, because you know, as soon as the dollars come in, then people think, oh, let's push up the prices. And milking a market while it's liquor is not going to, you know, whether it's the place you booked, Errol, or whether it's a B&B or a hotel, it's not going to stand them in good stead, because the alternatives in the market, those alternatives in the market will push them out indeed. James, but your response to
Errol. Errol, thank you for raising that. I mean, we've set up the Tourism Ombudsman to deal with these issues. When there are businesses that are, you know, acting not in good faith, they need to be reported to the Tourism Ombudsman, because it comes down to responsible pricing. So it's one thing being a responsible destination. So it really is spot on. It's not on when people do that, because they're going to push them out, and again, it damages our brand, it damages our value offer. So, yeah, certainly something that needs to be looked into. I've made a note. Thanks for that, Errol. But about responsible pricing, we need to work with industry so that they don't do this, because we rely now on the local visitor to support our places of accommodation, restaurants, you name it. So this is a good point he is raising. And just on the Tourism Ombudsman, that office has been set up to deal with complaints in the industry. I would hate to push that as a solution. But there are certain things that need to be looked at. I can't come here and say everything is hunky-dory.
Yep.
There are issues that need to be looked into. The Tourism Ombudsman is the place to turn to. But, I think from where I sit in terms of the Cape Town and Western Cape, we work extremely closely with our partners in the industry to ensure that these things don't happen.
Absolutely. Now, finally, James, there's something that, you know, because today is the last day for registration. So let's have a little bit of a chat about the clothing training program.
Yes, Kino. So following my visits and to several clothing and textile companies, I'm pleased to announce the city's plans to support the industry with training and skills development. And so my engagements have provided some positive market insights and also tangible economic opportunities within the clothing and textile industry. Now, listeners will agree with me. The clothing and textile industry is a significant employer in the Cape Town economy. If you look at the numbers many years ago compared to more recently, there's been a decrease, and now we need to find ways to boost this industry again. We've identified the gaps, for example, skills in the production. Also, the fact that we are importing too much, we should be focusing much more on local production.
Yep.
So there's a skills audit to determine where the gaps lie. We are looking at the entire value proposition of local manufacturing. We are also looking at how can we increase our local retail procurement from local manufacturing. So the clothing and textile industry is a priority sector for the city of Cape Town, and therefore we've launched the Cape Skills and Employment Accelerator Program with the help of the Craft and Design Institute. And so the project will enable SMMEs to take on machinists at a greatly reduced cost to relieve the pressures in their production, and also, you know, to create work, learning and work opportunities for women and youth. So the program is designed to offer national qualifications framework level training and workplace opportunities for unemployed youth and women as part of a 12-month learnership. And then the plan is to employ them in those businesses. And so we would encourage people to make application. The website is www.thecdi.org.za. So, and it's not just a skills development project. It's also placing emphasis on the development of the business and its capacity to not only host trainees, but hopefully absorb them after the learnership is completed. So it's a really exciting opportunity to help build capacity in the clothing and textile value chain.
Yeah. You've got to wrap innovation around that as well, right? So it's one thing to have the technical skill. And I know you say, okay, the businesses can apply for it, but you still have pressures from China. You still have the cheaper clothes coming in. So the question is, how do you innovate in the niches?
Right. So we're going to place much more emphasis on design and innovation to develop better product and services.
Yeah.
And then there's the thing, fast fashion.
Yes.
So the industry is currently experiencing an emerging global trend known as fast fashion that favors the speed at which goods can be brought to market.
Yep.
And this is preferred over cheap goods. Now, Cape Town, with its strong retailer presence, is perhaps the best placed domestic city to adapt to these trends and to lead the revival of this important industry. So we'll be certainly looking at niche markets and opportunities to boost our design. Also the CMTs, we mustn't forget that there's lots of work out in that particular space this has been an industry for decades in Cape Town. And so we want to bring in more skill and talent so that we can do much, much more design and innovation, but also boost production so that we can start exporting. Mm. And the fast fashion is the trend that we are looking into. We're working with the Cape Clothing and Cluster. They are a cluster that comprises of all the big companies helping us to understand the market trends. And then we will find ways to bring in the smaller guys. We have to train, and this is one of the programs that we are excited to launch now, so that we can train people. So it's about, and so the machinist has been identified as one of those gaps. We also have a partnership with the Cape Fashion Design Council, where people can then approach them to go for training in the Cape Town Fashion Council. As I say, the Craft and Design Institute is the one that we're working with on this particular project, and today is the closing date. So there's no cost for the trainee or the learner. We just need your commitment. We need you to commit to go through the training, the theory, and then the workplace training. So we'll put you in a company, in an SMME, to go and do the actual workplace training, and then absorb you into a company. So it's just another way to add value to the clothing and textile. Yeah.
Love it. James, you do a lot of good work.
It's fun,
you've got an amazing team behind you as well. Sorry, I have to cough. Sorry about that.
No problem.
But James, always great having you on the show. And we'll do a follow-up, and we'll talk a lot more. You know, we'll look at what you've put in place, what it's yielded throughout the year, and some of the other things that you guys are working on. So thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure, Kino. As we conclude, the second part of the Cape Skills and Employment Accelerator is the focus on the call center industry.
Ah.
So in a week or so, I'll have the information ready where people can apply to go for call center training. So it's training, the paying of stipends, and we'll place you in a job. So those are the two. So it's clothing and textile and the call center industry.
Mm.
And then the last thing, something very close to your heart, is small business development.
Yes.
I think, say, the first week of February, we'll be ready to launch our smart procurement and supply development program for the year.
Love
That's
it.
Where small businesses can come and be part of the training for the different needs that your business needs. So there's a lot that we can talk about in the next couple of weeks. So it's great to have you back, Kino, and all the best.
Thank you very much, Alderman James Forster, the Maker Member for Economic Opportunity.